Welcome to the Echo Chamber. With us here today is Adam Altmans.
Hi.
And as always, I'm your host, Russell McBride. And Pierce Conway still doesn't want to join us, given our political conversations.
No, it's just because he goes on vacations, more or less.
Conway is just living it up, people. Safely and masked.
Yep, he has no kids, and so he has that freedom. He should be taking advantage of it. Odd update on Conway, though, is he came in wearing cowboy boots the other day. And so I don't know what's happened to him, but now he has a pickup truck and cowboy boots, and someone got to him. I don't know.
So do me a favor, reach out to Mr. Conway on Twitter and let him know your thoughts on cowboy boots. Can he rock them or can't he?
I mean, I'm going to say it. I think he can rock them. I think he can. It just was unexpected yesterday when I saw him.
As opposed to his normal athleisure.
Yeah, and his nasty mask. He had a different mask on. Yeah.
New person. New day, new
person. He's changing his identity. He wants to separate himself from this podcast.
Well, this show is not about Pierce Conway. But we're going to move on to our main topic today, and there's a few things we're going to talk about. But really, this is the last podcast before the election, so we're just going to talk about what do polls look like today. This is Friday. It's October 30th. Things could change over the weekend. I don't foresee any major outbreaks. I believe both parties have kind of released the information that they want out about the other individual.
The October surprise.
Yes, I don't envision a October surprise tomorrow or a November surprise on Sunday.
Although,
or Monday.
Lil Wayne did just come out and support Trump, so they're still trying to get these endorsements at the last minute.
Yes, absolutely. Lil Wayne, right?
No, not Little Wayne.
Lil Wayne.
Yeah.
That's good we clarified that there. So let's start with the presidential race. What's the national poll looking like right now?
All right. So the national poll is favoring Biden. And so we've been using the 538, and we're going to be consistent and continue to use that.
And let's clarify, if you stop listening to us and listen to 538, it might benefit you more as an individual.
Yeah.
We can be honest about that. But we're going to talk about the polls anyways.
Yeah. And so the 538, we've said this before, they take a conglomeration of polls and all that kind of stuff. And so if you think they're biased or not, whatever. But we're going to use them for consistency. And so I think the latest update I saw was that they give Biden an 89% chance of winning this election. And I think the lead ranges from anywhere from, 7% to 11% lead?
Yeah.
So the range falls outside of that margin of error. But we've had discussions. I'm on the side that it's narrowing more so than maybe the polls are telling us.
I would disagree. I think it's staying consistent. I think there are some polls that have been coming out that show Trump gaining ground, but these polls just aren't as consistent as some of the other ones. They're not as trustworthy. 538 kind of ranks polls based on where they land. So I really think it's staying the same. That's where I would land on that.
Yeah, I'm not convinced because, I mean, I don't see Biden played a very safe campaign. And I'm starting to wonder if, because we don't see a lot of stuff in the news anymore, like there's the law and order issue isn't really a big issue anymore, social justice isn't a big issue anymore. I mean, they are always issues, but they're not at the forefront of people's minds. And Biden has done just nothing. And I'm wondering if he's losing that excitement as we draw closer and closer. Are there some people who are just saying, meh, whereas the Trump supporters we know are rabid. Like, they are eager. They are going to show up. Whereas Biden, he doesn't excite a lot of people.
I also think, and whether you vote Trump or vote Biden or vote Joe Jorgensen or Kanye West, whoever you vote for or whoever you voted for in 2016, there is this level of like PTSD that still exists, I think, from polling because it was so wrong in 2016. And it is important to note, even if a polling error like 2016 happens again, the potential polling error difference from 2016 to 2020, Biden has a strong enough lead and he's far enough ahead compared to Hillary that even if those kind of silent majority gets out like they did in 16, Biden would still win. if the polls are correct. I mean,
all right, so let's go to the swing states.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, so North Carolina, we'll start with them. We're a swing state.
Right.
And what are we pulling at? We're pulling at roughly 50-50.
Yeah, I think it is 50 Biden, 48 Trump, which puts it within the margin of error.
So I think that North Carolina is really, I think I would say we're a toss-up. And we always are, all right? So that's one swing state that you say is a toss-up. We can't say for sure anyone's winning that one.
And the most important state, the one that they're saying kind of would make the difference in Biden winning the election, it doesn't mean he has to win this state, but this is like if he does, like there's a good chance whoever wins Pennsylvania.
Right.
And right now that's polling at Biden at 52 and Trump at 47.
Okay, so that's a little bit of a wider margin.
Still close, though.
But I would say, absolutely, with all the unknown that people talk about from 2016 and 2020, you've got to put that in maybe not the toss-up range, but not a given at all for Biden. So there's two swing states, pretty significant ones.
Yeah. And I think it's important to note, and we didn't say this at the beginning, Trump having an 89 nationally, Biden at 11. 11 is a significant chance to win the election.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's still significant. And I think people need to understand that. It's not like a shoe-in for Biden.
Right.
There's still a good chance Trump wins.
Yeah. Because all he has to do is get some of these states to flip his way.
Right. Now, let's look at some other states. What's happening in Georgia right now?
You tell me. I don't know.
Biden's up 50.1 to 49.2. Okay. Now, if you had told me 6 months ago Biden would be leading in Georgia, but again, I would have called you a liar.
But that's not really a lead, right?
No. But the fact that it's polling that close, it's significant, right? Trump could still easily win, but it's significant that it's close.
Right. I'm just thinking, so let's take North Carolina, let's talk about Georgia. They're that close, right? I'm going to go with tradition and say they both fall to Trump because traditionally that's what we just see.
Sure. I think North Carolina goes Biden. Hot take.
I don't know if it's a hot take. I get where that's coming from, but I would just say that, man, I would be really uncomfortable calling the election for Biden at this point when I look at these swing states and I see how close they are.
Sure.
Like, okay, Pennsylvania, I could definitely see that one going to Biden.
So, and let's list a few others that tend to be significant. Florida has Biden at 50.6, Trump at 48.7. Arizona has Biden at 50.7, Trump at 48. Mm. Nevada has Biden at 52, Trump at 45. So, you know, as we move back here into some of these states, Minnesota has Biden at 53, Trump at 45. Wisconsin has Biden at 53, Trump at 45. If we go the other way, Ohio has Trump at 49.8 and Biden at 49.2. Iowa, and this is an important state, there is no scenario where Trump wins the presidency and does not win Iowa. Trump is at 49.7 and Biden is at 49. Texas, Trump is at 50.6 and Biden is at 48.5.
Now that's the most alarming to
me. And didn't we see this? Like, we saw this with Beto O'Rourke and Ted Cruz. There was a glimmer, or there was kind of this like hint that if you put a popular Democrat versus an unpopular Republican, Texas is in play.
Yeah, but that was also different. That was a midterm, correct?
Sure, yes.
That was a midterm.
Yes, it was a midterm. So less voter turnout.
Yeah, less voter turnout. Like, to me, it would be fascinating if Texas flipped. And that would be game over for Trump.
So, there's no way he can win if he loses.
So whenever
Texas
calls it, if it goes to Biden, it's game over.
Which is unlikely still. Like, I have a hard time believing that's possible.
Right.
Even though the polls are close.
Right.
Statistically, the evidence would say it's possible.
But I will say,
historically.
Yeah. Now we'll see how the results, and if the results turn out to be close, but still Trump wins, again, the GOP has to do some soul searching. What's going on here? Right.
Right.
What do we need to do? Because Texas is a safe Republican state, but it appears that maybe it's trending towards it's not. So what is the GOP?
And if Texas turns to a flip state, how do Republicans win the Electoral College moving forward?
They don't.
I mean, if Texas becomes the flip state, then Republicans
can't
win.
They don't unless they change their their strategies.
Yeah.
So that's the most interesting one to me. But we go through all these swing states, which we know are the ones that matter, and they're all toss-ups. So I don't And again, I'm not a stats guy, obviously, but I don't understand how you can say 89% chance that Biden wins when he's got a 50% chance to win all these swing states.
Sure, I think that's fair, right? The one he needs is Pennsylvania, which he's up 5 points in. So, like, that's the one he needs, right?
That's the one
that he could lose. Arizona, Florida, North Carolina, Georgia, Maine, Ohio, Iowa, Texas. He could lose all of those and still win the election.
Biden,
yes.
Yeah.
So I think what's significant is that he's leading in all of these states he doesn't even necessarily need.
Yeah.
In the states he does need, he's leading by about 5 points at least.
Hmm.
In the states he needs to get to 270, he has a pretty comfortable lead. He's outside the margin of error. Not quite outside the, like, 2016 error, but he's pretty close to it.
Hmm. So, yeah, it's an interesting point. And if you go look at the maps of 2016, and you're going to have to list them off because I can't memorize them, but we see that Biden is leading in a few of the states that Trump won in 2016. And not all of them are necessarily swing states. So they were North Carolina,
Florida, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Michigan, Arizona.
All right, so Michigan and Arizona.
I might be missing one or two, but I think that's...
Yeah, and then Nevada. I think Nevada went Trump, didn't
it? Nevada went Hillary.
Oh, it did.
Okay. Yeah. All right. You have a lot of unions there.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and that's the presidential election. And if you were to ask us who we would say 100% would win, that there's no chance we could answer that question. I think Tuesday night is going to give us some insight into where we stand. I don't think we'll know who's the winner Tuesday night. I think if Biden has a blowout, I think we might know Tuesday night. I think they'll still be hesitant to call it. But if it's close, or even if Biden or Trump has a moderate lead, no one's going to call it. We won't know. I think we'll know within a couple weeks. I think states are really going to make a concerted effort to figure out who the president is.
Mm.
So whether or not we know in a few days, that's up in the air. But in the next few weeks, I do think we'll know. Next race we want to talk about is the governor in North Carolina. This can be quick. Cooper's got a 9-12 lead.
Yeah,
it doesn't seem like that's going to change.
Whereas I'm cautious about. I think Trump is going to be very close in North Carolina. I don't personally envision Dan Forrest challenging Roy Cooper in any serious way.
Yeah, absolutely.
And there's not a single poll that I've seen that suggests that he is.
And help me out with this, because I think our listeners might be interested in this. Why would Trump and Biden be so close polling in North Carolina, but then Cooper, a Democrat, is like 9-12 points ahead of Forrest, a Republican? Like, are people not voting down ballot? Are they not voting?
Yeah, I think historically that's an interesting thing to talk about just in the South, which has a history of voting Democrat at the state level quite a bit. Like, North Carolina's had more Democrat governors in its recent history than Republican. And so I think it's this, I don't know. Like, that's a really good question. I remember I asked that question to my professor in college, and he couldn't even answer it. And so I'm not going to even try to, because then I'll fumble through it. But I think it goes back to tradition, and probably goes back to some civil rights issues, that kind of stuff. But typically North Carolinians haven't been shy about electing Democrats.
Right.
At the state level.
Yeah. And our next race we're going to talk about is the Senate.
Yeah.
And before Cal Cunningham made some irresponsible decisions with his life, he was up about 6 to 8 points, I think. Now it's a virtual tie.
Yeah, it seemed like he was going to be a runaway winner.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now, like you said, it's a virtual tie. I was just looking at the polls, and that lead has narrowed quite a bit. Tillis is making a huge comeback here. And so that one reflects more of the national election, in the sense of that it's a toss-up. It's anyone's game. And certainly with Cal Cunningham and his missteps, it's going to cost him. And even if he gets elected, it's going to cost him, I think.
Sure.
I think North Carolinians are really disappointed in him. So even if he wins election, I don't know.
His political motivations are probably, or aspirations are probably kind of
probably
shot.
They're going to be limited.
Yeah.
Unless something out of the ordinary happens. But that'll be close, because, again, with this is huge, because the presidential election, all right, let's say it favors Biden, okay. Well, the Senate, if the Democrats can flip a few seats, and this would be one of them, then the Democrats have this potential to control the House, the Senate, and the White House. And so this election has huge implications, more so probably for us directly than the presidential one does.
Right.
So that's one that I've been watching actually more closely, I think, than the other one.
Because either person who wins the presidency, if Biden wins the presidency, he's going to need the Senate to kind of have 2 years of – he can't pass anything he needs, but he's going to be able to get some pretty big agenda points. If you have complete control for 2 years, he's going to get some solid stuff done.
You would think.
Whereas Trump
– But that's not a guarantee. I mean,
if Trump wins, right, and he – Republicans lose the Senate and the House, I mean – he might be a lame duck president for 4 years.
Yeah, and so that's a term we call gridlock.
Right.
And what that does is it's intended that way, that the government is forced to move slow and more through compromise. It'll be very interesting to see the outcome of the presidential election combined with who's winning the Senate. Pay close attention to that, because if the Democrats control the Senate and the House and the White House, it doesn't guarantee anything, because typically what we need to see is they need to be all Democrat but all ideologically aligned. You have far left Democrats, more moderate Democrats.
Right, right.
But the point is, there's a better chance at some major things happening for the Democrats.
Initially, coronavirus relief probably.
Relief bill is going to be impacted.
Healthcare probably next.
Minimum wage.
Election reform. And it's important to note, like, if the Democrats have control of everything for 2 years, it doesn't mean that they get everything they want.
Correct.
They're still going to have to pick and choose. It takes time to write and pass and approve a bill. And if the Democrats only have, which is what this is looking like, 54, 53 seats,
right,
they have to convince the moderate Democrats to support their bills. And
the Republicans?
No, they have to convince the few moderates. I'm saying the Democrats.
Yeah, yeah.
They have to get the few moderates to get on board of their bills. So you're not going to see radical changes.
Right.
What you're going to see is whatever moderate Democrats would be willing to support, that's probably what's going to get through. And there might be some compromise within that.
Yeah.
But when we say Democrats have control of the House, the Senate, and the presidency, I'm not saying that everything AOC writes is going to be passed.
No.
Right?
Yeah. No. She's very powerless.
Because even within the Democrat Party, there's moderates, there's extremists, there's kind of you're solidly in the middle there of the party. I mean, they have to work together still.
If you're going to pass a bill, if you're AOC, you're going to be told probably by your Pelosi's, water it down.
Right.
Because or else it's just going to be dead on arrival.
Yeah.
And so, like, the last time we saw the Democrats control all those things and pass a whole bunch of stuff was actually, I think it was under Lyndon B. Johnson.
Yeah.
And since then, Democrats have controlled all those different areas. But again, they've not been ideologically aligned.
Yeah.
And that's I think
the Affordable Care Act is the closest
in
recent history we've gotten to a pretty huge agenda piece being passed through.
Yeah. But even that wasn't easy, and that was watered down.
And Obama sought Republican support for that bill.
Yeah.
He needed it.
Obamacare is not really what Obama wanted. He had to water that down a lot.
Yeah.
And then we look at, President Trump controlled the White House, the Senate, or the Republicans controlled the White House, the Senate, and the House.
Right.
And what did they do?
They did the tax. They passed the tax bill.
Okay.
They didn't fund the wall.
Nope.
They couldn't repeal Affordable Care Act.
That's right.
There was one bill that was passed besides the tax.
I guess what we would tell you as listeners is that whatever happens, right? If you're a Republican, the worst case scenario is the Democrats control everything. If you're a Democrat, the worst case scenario is, of course, the Republicans control. But that doesn't mean that it's over. Like, our system is built on moving slow and through compromise.
Like when January 21st rolls around and Democrats have control of everything, we will not be socialist America the next day. It's just not how it works.
And let's not forget the Supreme Court, right?
Right.
With its 6-3 conservative majority, which I say is more like 5-4, but just because Roberts. I mean,
Roberts is making votes to protect the court.
Yeah, but anyway, they have judicial review.
Right.
And so again, it's not that literally they can do anything they want.
And, I think we're making comments to maybe dissuade fears of Republicans right now. But something recently that happened was ACB was put on the Supreme Court. There's a lot of drama going on around that. And before she was put on, there was a lot of fear being brought up by Democrats about ACB being put on the court. And I think what I would love for you to hear, and we just did this for Republicans, so I want to do it for Democrats now. ACB has not repealed Roe v. Wade today. She has not repealed gay marriage. She has not repealed the Affordable Care Act.
And likely won't.
Yes, likely won't. Most people who really study the Supreme Court and know it well are saying the Supreme Court will probably have a majority in support of the Affordable Care Act. Nothing will be done on gay marriage. They won't change anything about that. It's the law of the land. ACB has recognized that before.
And it's ruling on precedence. Why is Roe v. Wade so hard to overturn? It's established in court precedent now.
Right.
Obergefell is the same thing.
You could see changes happening to abortion restrictions in this country, but Roe v. Wade is not going away.
Yeah, it's going to take a massive shift for those things to really be overturned, because what the justices are going to have to do is look at those laws and those rulings in a new light, and so this idea that they're going to come in and overturn the ACA, well, probably not, because that's already been ruled on. The mandate was already challenged and taken away. So there's a lot would have to happen.
They could potentially make Biden's life harder if they're trying to push some pretty huge reforms through. Yeah. That's possible.
Yeah.
When you think about America changing, though, because of a conservative Supreme Court, think 30 years. Don't think 2 years. Like, is that fair? Like, think 10 years even, maybe. Yeah. Like, it's a long-term thing. It's not It's not tomorrow.
Yeah. I would say, so, you know, a lot of people say, oh, I don't like the way we're trending, the direction our country is heading. And I would say that it has less to do with who's in charge of what right now. It's more so what is the problem, the way we're trending, is when we are all going to our ideological corners. Mm-hmm. That's the negative trend, right? Because our politicians, we already know that. They kind of go wherever the wind blows, right? And the wind is blowing to the extreme ends of each party.
Right.
We don't really see many people meeting up in the middle as much anymore. So looking forward, right, whoever's in charge, yes, it matters. Of course it matters. But that doesn't really determine which way the country's going.
Could we also just note that I do think ultimately in a democracy, in our country, in our government, the people really do decide the direction of our country. Look back to 2000. Which party supported gay marriage? Neither party.
Right.
Look at 2020. Both candidates are holding rallies in support of LGBTQ.
Right.
Trump, the Republican Party, and the Democrats would both say they support gay marriage now. Culture shifted in such a way that I
don't know if the Republican Party would say that, but Trump does.
Trump does, yes. Yeah. I think many in the Republican Party would. They don't have a platform this year, so it's hard to know.
Well, it's no longer a real big issue anymore because they know that they can't afford to make that a big issue.
Right. I just say that to say, ultimately, if enough of the people in America come to a conclusion on an issue, most times, eventually the parties will shift to match that. Because that's how it works. That's how they get elected. They need the support of the people. And if 80% of the American public believes in fill in the blank, chances are, if both parties want a shot at office, they're going to begin to adopt those principles.
Yeah, I think public opinion is massive. The direction of the country isn't determined by who wins these elections necessarily.
Right. So essentially, we hope you have a good overview of where all the polls are. We hope you understand a little bit more of how democracy works, just in that last section there. And we hope you pay attention on Tuesday. If you can vote, do it. Do it now. Go vote. Go vote on Election Day.
Do it.
Early voting might not be open in most places.
Do it.
But essentially, what Altman's has to say is...
Do it.
Thanks for joining us today. My name's McBride. Thanks for joining us, Altman's.
Do it.
That's wraps.